Hello and welcome to the Adastra podcast. My name is Mark Cahoot and I lead the data and AI governance practice at Adastra North America. Adastra is a global data, AI, and cloud systems integrator. Today's episode will focus on the cloud agnostic Snowflake data platform. And joining me today in our Toronto studio to talk about how Snowflake helps customers transform their business with data and AI is Chris Peart. Chris is a sales leader at Snowflake Canada, where he oversees strategic enterprise customers across Eastern Canada. And before Snowflake, he held roles at SAS, Salesforce, and Intellex. Chris is based in Toronto and is a Wilfrid Laurier grad. Chris, thanks for taking the time to join us today. Really glad to be with you in the studio.
Nice to be here, Mark. I'm looking forward to it.
Terrific. Off we go into the podcast. Let's start with you. That's always the best starting point. A little bit about the scary part and the good part. Because we can all talk tech, but there are people behind this, aren't there? You're a founding member of Snowflake Canada back in 2018. A lot of wonder under that bridge by now. Take us back to those early days. What was the pitch, you know, that you were doing when you were introducing Snowflake to Canadian enterprises for the first time?
Yeah. I mean, it's incredible to think back that Snowflake has been in Canada active since 2018. Mm-hmm. The pitch at that time and the message at that time was not too dissimilar to what we're seeing now. I mean, we weren't talking about AI in 2018, but we were talking about uniting data.
Right.
You know, getting rid of data silos and being able to allow people to get a lot more intelligence and action out of the data that they have by mobilizing effectively that data estate in one central data platform across
a single source of truth.
A single source of truth, that's right, across AWS, Azure, and GCP.
Right. And that holds true today.
It does hold true today. It really does. I mean, you've seen that message evolve to a point now where it's still that single source of truth, but being able to have that truth hold the context that your AI agents and your AI projects need to be able to be effective in production, not just in pilot phase.
So you're folding AI into the platform?
I would say so, yeah. I would say AI to a degree has always been part of the Snowflake platform, and now it's just taking a bigger and bigger role.
Gotcha. If I'm not mistaken, you've helped Snowflake scale to something like $100 million in annual product revenues.
Yeah, I'm not an accountant, so I can't verify those numbers specifically. But we've done great business here in Canada. We've been able to help companies see value out of their data that they have, whether it be small mom and pop shops to the largest banks, the largest insurance companies, retailers, manufacturers, aviation. These are all people that have different data and AI needs and value needs, but they're able to get that out of the single governed unified data platform in Snowflake.
So it goes to the flexibility and scalability of the platform itself.
Exactly.
Chris, I'm wondering, what were some of those, let's just thinking about that road from 2018 to today,
sure.
What were some of the pivotal or the most pivotal moments, inflection points, most challenging things along that journey as you launched in Canada?
Yeah, I think for us launching in Canada, you know, some of the most challenging things was allowing people to really see Snowflake for what we are, right? You know, we are a new way of looking at data. No longer do you have to amass data in a data lake and then have to use ETL to be able to move data between data lakes and data warehouses. And that all introduces complexity, it increases cost, and it becomes very brittle and frail. And we needed to prove to people that what we were doing inside of Snowflake wasn't magic. It may have felt like magic, but it wasn't magic. It was by being able to take advantage of what the cloud gave us, you know, AWS, Azure, GCP, what they allow Snowflake to be able to do. They're our phenomenal partners, is being able to get insight from data a lot faster. And for people and customers to wrap their heads around that took a minute, but the market really sees that now. And they do turn to Snowflake to be able to get answers from their data faster. And I'll show you an example. You know, there's two types of people. You know, you got somebody who logs in to their data platform at the beginning of the day, and they have to then go through and start to look at, how do I take advantage of a new feature, a new release? I want to use a co-pilot or I want to use an LLM. And in order to do that, they need to take a look at their data environment. They need to make sure that they're on the most currently released revision of that data platform. If not, they have to go through an upgrade cycle. They have to see what breaks in that upgrade cycle. This type of process of being able to adopt new technology is not uncommon. I'm sure people are seeing this. You're nodding your head as well. This is the way people typically interact with software platforms and technology platforms. The other side of that is what Snowflake is able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Inside of Snowflake, we have one product. It's just Snowflake, the AI data cloud. And customers are able, when they log in the morning, they're able to say, oh, I want to take advantage of Snowflake Cowork, for example. Well, it's there for them to use. Once it's available in private preview or public preview or GA, it's just there. There's no managing upgrades. There's no trying to worry about hardware and brittleness and cutovers. It's just there and they can use it if they get value out of it. And it's being able to use it inside of their secure, governed platform, which is Snowflake.
So a whole control layer in there as well to make sure that the data is fit for purpose and controlled the way it needs to be, I suppose.
Yeah, 100%.
Chris, let's turn to enabling business transformation with mm-hmm. AI, right? So building on that data and yet part of a unitary platform, let's set the stage a little bit about Snowflake's core AI services to help the audience understand two of them in particular.
Sure.
I wonder if you could explain the relationship between what you mentioned, I believe Snowflake Cowork and Cortex.
Yeah.
How do you explain that to customers?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good question, Mark. I mean, Snowflake Cowork is the knowledge worker interaction with Snowflake.
Mm-hmm. An interface.
It's an interface. It's a front end. It's clean. It allows people to ask questions and get answers back very, very quickly. That is the logic and the front end version of Snowflake, and it's Snowflake Cowork. Cortex is the brain that sits underneath Snowflake Cowork. So Cortex does the routing, the appropriate routing. When a business user or a knowledge worker asks a question, does Snowflake Cortex structure a SQL command that then goes and retrieves the data for that answer and then serves it back to the person? Or does that data then actually live in unstructured data? And Snowflake Cortex is using vector embeddings to be able to pull data out of that unstructured data to be able to service that knowledge worker. But at the end of the day, what we're trying to do here is we're trying to make sure that knowledge workers increase their speed to insight even more so than before by being able to get them the answers that they need in one single simple chat interface.
Gotcha. So we're talking about that's a real manifestation of fast go-to-market time and speed to insight.
That's right.
Ready-to-go tools. Let's talk about that Cowork. When a business user sits down with Snowflake Cowork for the first time,
what
give us a sense, Chris, maybe narratively, just, you know, experientially, what they can do now that they couldn't do before?
Yeah. Yeah. Look, you know, I think every knowledge worker that's listening to this podcast right now or folks that are managing data teams, you have probably the most perfect, beautiful dashboards in the world, right? Mm-hmm. And the idea is, how do you have these dashboards and reports to answer all the potential questions that a business user or a knowledge worker may have? The fact of the matter is, that's just an impossible goal to shoot for. And the way that Snowflake works now is if you're sitting there as a knowledge worker, you're going to have questions. Every time you get an answer, whether it be a chart or a dashboard or report, you're probably going to have 3 to 5 more follow-up questions. And traditionally, that then requires an email off to a different data team, an engineering team to then go pull that data, develop that data pipeline, cleanse it, allow it to be in an answer-ready format, and then emailed back to you. By the time you get the answer back, you've probably forgotten why you even asked the question.
Sounds like a data delivery bottleneck waiting to happen.
100%, right? And this way with Snowflake Cowork, you have the ability to, sure, you can look at dashboards and reports, but those questions that those dashboards and reports start to form for you, you're going to be able to ask those questions through Snowflake Cowork and be able to get answers immediately so you can test hypothesis and be able to react very quickly to the framework on the ground.
So you can really follow business intuition, curiosity and drill down in ways as they come to you, as you're thinking about your constant business problems.
Yeah. I mean, think about it like this. You know, there's a company, Fanatics. Have you heard of Fanatics before?
No, I haven't.
Fanatics, an unbelievable global sports brand, right? And what they do is they do sports marketing, merchandising, product for F1, for NBA, for tennis.
The majors.
The majors. And the example I'm going to use is they're doing it for the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about what they're trying to do, they're collecting 2 billion signals every single day of what individual consumers of sports brands are like and what they don't like, and how do you use and how do you to take advantage of the attention that you have from those users. So I'm a user. We're here in Toronto, Canada right now. Fanatics knows how best to market to me. And when we're recording this podcast right now, it's the Eastern Conference and Western Conference Finals in hockey. They know me as a person based here in Toronto, that it's my nightmare to see potentially the Habs in the Western in the Stanley Cup Finals playing against Mitch Marner's Vegas Golden Knights.
Mm-hmm.
So they're understanding that as the conditions change for an individual consumer of sports memorabilia and paraphernalia, how best to use that to their advantage to be able to maximize revenue from me as a consumer or from the entire GTA as consumers as we sit there in horror and watch what's about to happen in the Stanley Cup
Go
Finals.
Habs, by the way, go Habs.
I'm okay with the Habs.
I think there's a thin red line running through what you're telling us, Chris, and it really is about agility, right? It's about leveraging data and AI. Excuse me. As really a strategic asset, mm-hmm. right? And finding competitive advantage from ability to react by pulling insights from it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love hearing the stories from the trenches. I wonder if I might draw you out on any more use cases that you might have come across out there that made you think, this is why we built this. You know what I mean?
No, 100%. I mean, it's just the sheer scale of what people are able to do with Snowflake, with Snowflake Cowork, with the ability to detect signals in data. I'll give you another example. There's a customer of ours, a Canadian company, an unbelievable Canadian cybersecurity company named eSentire.
Mm-hmm.
And eSentire is collecting 20 petabytes of data a day of specifically cybersecurity network traffic and infrastructure data.
Right.
And those 20 petabytes, they're giving to their threat detection agents to be able to understand, are there any nefarious actors inside of a network or trying to breach a network? And that is something that they're able to do at scale for probably, I don't want to be quoted, so significantly less money than what they were doing in the past by being able to bring that efficiency so that they can now handle even more detections, more data at scale for the betterment of security of their customers.
25 petabytes daily. That must be an incredible footprint of companies that they're dealing with. And so again, it speaks to the scalability of the platform.
Yeah.
Have you seen real measurable results, customers reporting real measurable results, tangible value? That's always,
yeah,
shall we say, a question at the top of mind of business leaders, but can get a little bit fluffy sometimes. So I'm just wondering if you have nice numbers that that to share with the audience.
Yeah, I mean, in order to get measurable results, you need to be obviously measuring the current state as mm-hmm. well, right? And I think a lot of people struggle because they want to see the measurable results from AI without fully understanding the current state that they have. So that's my first advice is, and my team does this quite a bit, where we want to understand what is the current state so that we can all point to that and be able to work together to say we were able to provide increased revenue, reduce cost, reduce risk. Those types of defensible metrics together with a customer. But I'll give you an example is Siemens Energy.
Mm-hmm.
Massive energy manufacturing company. They do turbines, they do large machines. They had over 800,000 technical documents. That's huge. 800,000 technical documents that they needed to ramp new knowledge workers on in order for them to be effective. Mark, it actually took a new knowledge worker about 7 years of nonstop reading in order to get that information into their own minds, let alone whether they're even retaining it. This is a company that's been around for forever, and the institutionalized knowledge is just massive. And what they did is they actually loaded all of that unstructured document text into Snowflake. They use Snowflake Cowork to be able to have new users, new knowledge workers who are out fixing machines, developing new turbines. When they run into problems, they can utilize that institutional knowledge, those 800,000 documents, to be able to come to an answer faster for the betterment of Siemens Energy as well as their customers. So that's an example for you.
I think it's fun that you mentioned Siemens, because there's an old sort of MBA saying that was all about knowledge management, and it's actually Siemens doesn't know what Siemens knows. Now it sounds like with Snowflake, Siemens knows what Siemens knows.
That is something I've never heard before, Mark, but I love it.
I'll send you the bill for the royalties. And Chris, what you're talking about there with Siemens is also very germane to AI-driven transformation, right? Because so much knowledge, as data managers, we often focus a great deal on structured and semi-structured data, but there's so much out there in terms of documents that can be completely dark. Mm-hmm. I think that the potential to be able to index, explore documents, unstructured data, mm-hmm. is really a new frontier that needs a lot of technological support.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everyone's talking about agentic AI though right now, right? We've gone from we were getting our heads around LLMs for the last few years, but the autonomy horizons provided by agents are shifting the game of business transformation and automation. Tell me, how's Snowflake thinking about agents, automation, and autonomous workflows?
Yeah. I mean, it's incredible. And the big difference is you have Gen AI, which is your ability to get answers to questions and your ability to ask why. And the agentic AI is giving you the ability to have your agent to perform work based on those answers without human intervention. And it's incredible. And the way we think about it is context is king. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important. And I really want to make sure that hits home for people, that context is king. In a world where frontier models are continually getting better, frontier models are continually leapfrogging one another. You have Anthropic, you have OpenAI, you have Gemini from Google. Phenomenal products. Grok is now coming on board as well. You're seeing them catch up as fast as they possibly can. You have a lot more open source models, Chinese models that are doing quite well. What you're going to start to see is the commoditization of the models themselves. Yeah.
And kind of a winner take all game that we,
and you're just going to start to see that, you know, in a world where anybody can use the best model possible, what's going to be your competitive differentiator is going to be your data, the context that you have. So in a world where you're now going to have agents potentially working with other agents autonomously, your ability to have secure, governed context inside of your data in that semantic layer, accessible through AWS, Azure, and GCP, is going to allow you as a company to move a lot faster and get value more from your competitors than your competitors, in that Gen AI, or sorry, the agentic world.
What are the platform functionalities that really enable these agentic operations, Chris?
So from a Snowflake perspective, you have the ability to really manage all of the different orchestration of actions through Snowflake Cowork, as well as Snowflake Cortex Code. So we've shortened that to Snowflake Coco. And what you're now able to do is launch commands and be able to use that same sort of knowledge work interaction, question, answer, question, action, to be able to work with MCP servers in other applications, whether it be Google or Workday or Salesforce or other ServiceNow, for instance, SAP, and being able to perform actions. I actually think there's a world now where if you start to look forward, you know, there is a world where you have a supply chain agent working inside of a retailer that's noticing a potential product shortfall inside of their own supply chain, inside of that retailer. And they're autonomously going out and negotiating a purchase agreement with a sales agent at another vendor. right? And you're starting to see that as the way that we're going. I'm not sure, aware of anybody that's there yet, but I can see that on the horizon. And I'm in conversations where people are talking about this. And in that sort of reality, if your data is not in one single place, if your data is not governed and secure, if that context layer isn't there,
it'll break.
It'll break, right? And that's where it'll break, or you won't be able to take advantage of that. And the people who do take advantage of that are the people that are going to be able to win.
Fascinating. Moving from human in the loop to human above the loop, if you will, supervising that way. That truly is the frontier. Let's turn from, thank you for this sort of deep dive into agentic operations and how a unified platform and a lack of data silos, governed data, enables this and is in fact a prerequisite to it. Let's turn away from the technology and let's turn to relationships with customers and how you partner with them, because I'd love to pick your brain on the fact that your career spans other major companies like SAS, Salesforce, as well as your success at Snowflake. So I take that you've built and grown very long-term partnerships and relationships with client. Chris, what have you learned about making a great customer relationship? What makes for a great customer relationship between a partner like Snowflake and people using it to let the rubber hit the road?
Honestly, Mark, it comes down to trust.
Yeah.
Nobody is going to sell anybody anything. It's impossible. Customers will buy software. They'll buy outcomes.
Yes.
And I'm not in a position to magically influence somebody to do something that they're not willing to do. I am in a position where I get to do these transactions quite often, and I respect the fact that the customer on the other side is probably somebody who does not buy software as much as I provide software as a service to customers. So they are putting their career, their reputation, at risk.
On the
they're
line.
Making a bet, and they need to understand that the person sitting across from them, myself, my team, that we have their personal and professional best interests at heart. And that's what we really need to focus on. There's a lot of different ways that we can do that. But it comes down to ensuring that if they're going to work with us, that it is going to be beneficial for them both personally and professionally. At the end of this, at the end of the transaction.
Sounds to me as though you become an extended member of their team almost.
We try to be. We try to be, right? And we try and earn that trust every single day, right? We want them to see that, you know, when they spend a dollar on Snowflake or with my team and I, they get $10 in return, because then they're going to willingly want to spend $10 so that they can get $100 in return.
What can we do next?
And then let's keep that going so that they're constantly getting outsized value for the relationship and the investments that they're putting into the platform.
Now that AI has become so central to the Snowflake story, how are these customer conversations changing, Chris?
Well, I mean, right now, what we're able to do is really showcase even how Snowflake is using AI, right? I see ourselves being able to
walk
show
the
up
talk, so to speak.
100%. We're able to show up to meetings incredibly well prepared, and show our customers how we are able to reach that through Snowflake Cowork. You know, understanding what their pain points are, what their problems they're trying to solve, based on being able to synthesize and condense a vast amount of knowledge into a conversation. That's where we're starting to see this change and very rapidly start to show them how we can affect that change inside their own organizations in, you know, 90 to 180 day sprints.
Does this apply to organizations of all sizes? You talked about mom and pop shops and then, you know, and then S&P 500 size organizations kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I imagine you talk to both, you know, the enterprise grade clients and fast growing tech companies, startups that are scaling like all get out kind of thing. Do you see patterns in who's getting real value, who's extracting most value from data and AI platform investment?
That's a good question. I think for me, the folks that are willing to take a risk, willing to fail, and learn from that failure, you know, life's full of failure, right? We fail all the time. It's impossible to get through life and through business without failure. I have lots of, you know, meetings and clients that don't work out at the end of the day.
Yeah.
That happens. But the folks that are able to endure that failure and be able to learn from it are the ones that are getting the value fastest. You know, in Canada, I'm a Canadian, like I said, you know, born and raised here in Toronto. We are constantly being more cautious than the rest of the world. And we point to things like regulatory requirements, and we point to other issues where we justify our reason for being cautious. And I want to challenge everybody who's listening, all the Canadians that are listening to this podcast, because, you know, our peers that also have the same regulatory requirements, the same sort of reasons and issues that they have to deal with, be it in the UK, be it our friends in Australia, New Zealand, or even down south in the US, you know, these folks are taking big swings and winning with AI faster than we are. And I'd like to see us turn that narrative around. And I tend to see the folks that are willing to take that risk. And it's scary. I don't want to, you know, downplay that. It's scary. I get it. But there's ways that we can accelerate the positive outcomes through working through Snowflake and the team at Snowflake.
And perhaps, you know, that increased risk appetite that you're talking about, the willingness to put yourself out there, to fail fast, to do controlled experiments, mm-hmm. and get going. Perhaps a key to that is also understanding the risks and coming to some, you know, to some degree of understanding how one can mitigate and again, to be able to, if one's going to fail smart kind of thing, to
Correct.
Be able to do that learning. And I imagine that many of those controls that we're talking about, for example, within a platform like Snowflake, are key to that.
Well, and the big thing again with Snowflake, just to kind of touch on what we're doing a little bit differently than everybody else, is it is one single platform available through AWS, Azure, and GCP. Right, you don't have to manage multiple instances. You don't have to manage multiple accounts. It's one interface that people can work with. It's secure. It's governed. It's trusted. You know, that sort of framework is there for our customers to use. And even in a way where you are using Gen AI and you are using Snowflake Cowork, you have the ability to have access to the data that is bestowed upon you based on your security posture, right?
Right.
You know, whether through RBAC.
RBAC, yeah.
Correct, right? So being able to ensure that you're never seeing anything you're not supposed to see. You're not seeing merger and acquisition documents that you're not supposed to see. You're not seeing salary information.
And,
no, yeah. None of that. Because you, as the person interacting with the AI or the agents that you have working with you, all inherit the same security permissions and visibility permissions that you have. So therefore, they're never doing anything that is nefarious or outside of the realm of being able to affect change based on your role within the organization.
Chris, you just stole my thunder with my last question.
I'm so sorry.
It was exactly that, but it sounds like I think you've made a very compelling case that Snowflake is the right place to start for data and business leaders in our audience who are listening,
it's
but
easy.
Still on the fence about getting started.
It's easy. I mean, ai.snowflake.com, go to that website. You have the ability to try for yourself. There's a free trial on there. Being able to get started with just, you know, yourself and your dog and a credit card, you can get going, or you can scale up to Fortune 500 company. It's the exact same experience and platform at the end of the day. And the goal is to ensure that people are getting value out of their data.
Just make sure the dog doesn't eat the credit card and you're all good to go.
That would be difficult.
Chris, we're out of time. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy week to share your insights on cloud-enabled AI and how Snowflake helps your clients make it happen. I'm really taking away messages about agility, as we talked about, right? That you can get going faster than you thought was possible, and that you can do it in a controlled way with unified data that is controlled and ready to use by pushing down AI tools right into the platform.
Yeah.
So thanks again for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for being great partners. Really appreciate it, Mark.
And to our audience, If you've enjoyed today's discussion, be sure to like and subscribe to this Adastra podcast series for more insights on data and AI-led business transformation. Until next time, thanks for listening, and so long for now.